So this is not a good day to be outside doing a podcast. There's a big storm warning. Started getting the emails last night where the power company is like, you should make sure you got some shit before the big storm tomorrow. Then the internet company sent a similar email, which, I mean, I don't know what, like, I don't know, download all your shows, I guess, ahead of time in case the fucking internet goes out. But this is the day that I traditionally walk across town to go visit my ma. And I was like, it doesn't look that bad out there. At this very moment, it's not even raining that much. It's just really windy. So I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. Maybe you'll hear a big branch fall off a tree and crush me in real time. So, of course, I'm going to talk about some writing shit. But first off, I want to mention that I'm going to, you know, obviously, as far as writing goes, you know, I mean, whatever there was to impart in this podcast has been imparted, you know. At this point, it's like maintenance. Well, you know, I'll get into it. The point is, I still like podcasting a lot, but there's just no point in doing frequent updates about writing because, you know, I've said what there is to say. Now it's just the grind. So I'll check in on the grind once in a while. But one of my favorite inadvertent things about this podcast were those accidental travel podcasts, just getting audio of being in Amsterdam, or especially when I was in Japan. Like, I'll go back and listen to those sometimes, and it's just like, it's like a neat thing. It's pretty easy to find travel vlogs and video, but I feel like audio of people traveling is a little bit more obscure, and I think it's neat, and I like it. So, I'm finally set to start traveling very soon. I'm gonna have a quick stop in Montreal and then head back to Japan. So I'm gonna start a travel podcast. I'm just gonna record my experiences as I ramble about the earth. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, maybe you'll enjoy that one. It's called Roaming Holiday. And, you know, there's a million podcasts out there. It might be a little tough to find, especially when it's still new. So probably the easiest way to find it is just to go to my website, which is keithcourage.com, and just scroll down past The Last of Us book to just a little thing, just says podcasts, just has my different podcasts listed. Just click on Roaming Holiday, and it'll have all the links to the different podcast providers, and that's going to be my new project. I think it's going to be cool. And you know, this sounds awful, and I can see the trees blowing quite a bit, but it really doesn't seem that bad. However, writing. So I guess what I've had on my mind is, you know, why is this taking so long? Like, the last episode I put out, I actually sat on it for a while before I put it out. And then I took my time recording this one, too. I guess just because I was feeling sort of, even though this has been how it's gone the whole time, of just me chronicling my slow progression and just trying to impart that I think just consistent work is the most important thing, just to have a nice, consistent process. But it's been so long that I was starting to feel a little self-conscious about it. Like, shouldn't my book be done by now? Surely anyone who's following this podcast in real time has got to just be exasperated at this point of just like, come on, dude. How long can this take? This is ridiculous. So I kind of had to diffuse that idea in my mind a little bit. And I had some thoughts about it. So when I started this podcast, I legitimately thought it would take me about 2 years to write a book. Everything was going so quickly at first. And I don't think I would have started this podcast at all if I hadn't thought that. So it was a good thing to believe because, you know, it got me to make this little podcast project. If I knew it would be 6 years later, 7 years later, whatever, I'm still just plugging along. I mean, that just doesn't sound exciting. That doesn't sound like I have any useful information to impart if I came out of the gates with the idea of like, hey, just to write a novel is going to take me for goddamn ever. So I'm glad I didn't think that at first, because I do think this podcast has been kind of a neat thing. It's been valuable for me at the very least. Surely it's valuable to somebody. And I am sure that listening to it in real time, at this point, I got to assume most people have kind of gotten a little fed up. Which is also fine, I think, because, you know, that's fine. You know, we all have our own stuff to work on, right? So if someone's tired of my slow journey, no problem. You know, you just go do your thing. Go work on your thing. And I do think it's a little interesting to bring up that at this speed, if it really is true that you can write a novel in 2 years or 3 years, if that really is the case, if that's what's common, then shouldn't there be a bunch of people lapping me? You know, like people that have been listening to this podcast for years, shouldn't I be getting those messages of like, hey buddy, here's my novel. My novel's done, you know, because I would happily promote anybody's novel who got their shit done. But that has not happened, you know, because that's not common. That is just not how it works. Writing a novel is, I mean, when people say writing a novel's not easy, they're really not fucking kidding. It's really not easy. It is really hard. It really takes forever. There is so much, you know, it's the opposite of just building a brick wall, you know, and placing bricks one after another. It's not just a matter of putting in time or putting in effort. If you really want to make the great American novel, the great Canadian novel, the great Dutch novel, the great novel, you know, if you really want to get in touch with what's inside of you, if you really want to make the book that is your book, it is very not easy. It takes a very long time. I mean, I should have known that from the get-go, you know? But I guess it's because I was kind of basing things on that Last of Us book I wrote, which the Last of Us book was much more like making a brick wall. All I had to do was play through a video game, arrange all my thoughts about the video game, and it really was just a daily matter of making those thoughts readable. The initial outline of that book took like 2 weeks. It was nothing. And then it was just fleshing it out and making it into a real book. Writing a novel is just not the same. It's a different discipline. It's a different whole space in your mind that is required. It's just the definition of abstraction. I gotta make these squiggles on a page impart to others an entire sense of life, an entire view of philosophy. In a way, I mean, I know a lot of people have written and will write novels, but still, it's kind of like you're trying to do the impossible. You're trying to create a document that will allow other people to read your mind, and it's very fucking hard to do. And not just read your mind on a surface level, read your mind way deep down. I mean, in a way, it's like you're reading your own mind, you know? You're just trying to figure out what's buried deep down in you that informs what your characters are going to be like and what they're going to do and what this story's going to be about and what the point of it is. And it's fucking hard as fuck. So yeah, I just kind of reaffirmed to myself that yeah, this is taking forever, but who cares? There's no reason why it shouldn't. And the goal is not the point. The day I finish this book, I mean the very next day, I'll just be working on a different book, you know? I'm already working on a few things all at once. What's important is not the goal, what's important is the process. And the process has been fine. Nothing has gone wrong with the process. It's gotten a little shakier during COVID times, I'll get into that too. But fundamentally, I would say I've probably slipped a little in the sense that I probably only write 6 days a week. Maybe some days five. In some ways, the weekends are kind of a wash. But that really has been because of my circumstances. I'll get into that more. I think I'm going to get back to 7 days. But again, all I do is I write a little bit every day, but I just don't stop. And that is still going, so it's all good. I especially don't need to, you know, sabotage myself with, like, imaginary things, too. It's not like people are actively bugging me about, hey, when's the book going to be done? That's really rare, you know? I'm more just creating that expectation in my own mind, or, like, I think this is what people are... I bet people are bothered. I bet people are annoyed. Nobody minds. Nobody cares. I'm just psyching myself out. But I also realized, as far as that, the thing with, you know, the goal not being the point, just the process being the point, in a lot of ways, this is as good as the process is ever going to be. While I'm working in obscurity, while I'm not known as a writer, this is when the process is kind of the purest and the easiest because there's so little pressure on it and so little expectation. There's not a lot to gain from finishing this book because either it will be a big failure and I gotta swallow that down and learn how to digest that information, which I think I'd be able to do, and I just keep carrying on and it'd be no big deal. Plenty of people do not get their first novels published. But almost worse, if it were a big success, I mean, I've only had a little taste of online notoriety way back in like 2009 or some shit, but when I was on the Keith and the Girl show in New York, and they're not an extremely huge podcast, but they don't have to be. It's enough. It's enough to be known by an audience and to... I know how it affected me, and it wasn't good. I didn't like that feeling of being observed by people. It made me behave worse. It definitely didn't make me behave better. And I don't think I've greatly matured since then, to be honest with you. If by some crazy happenstance I became the next J.K. Rowling, it would be like a nightmare because I really would be the next J.K. Rowling, you know? The same way she's always shooting her mouth off and talking about shit that really has nothing to do with her, just causing all these problems and making her legacy more and more dubious, you know? I can easily imagine being that person. Because even back in the Keith and the Girl days, you know, they were based in New York. I did not like New York. And I remember for a while, it was like I was incapable of not tweeting insults and complaints about New York. I like couldn't stop myself. I think of some snide thing to say about New York and I just couldn't stop. And I used to wish that I, like, Twitter was set up so that if you tweeted, it would hold your tweet for 24 hours and then the next day ask you, hey, do you still want to send this? Because by then I would have said no to like 80% of the stupid shit I was tweeting. And that was no big deal. Who cares? I'm not the first guy ever to dogpile on New York. It's a rat-filled hellhole. But what if? What if we get into the realms of weird social politics and stuff, and I got some weird... Because, I mean, I got plenty of weird opinions. It's the whole point of being some idiosyncratic writers. I don't think necessarily the same way as the average person. But I don't need to talk about it. I could just keep it to myself. Who gives a shit? It's not important. But once you have an audience and you have people paying attention and you have eyes on you, it totally changes a person's behavior. The best thing you can do is just to disconnect and stay away. And I would like to think that I would do that, but yeah. Basically what I'm saying is, you know, I got my inheritance money from my poor dear old dad. It's not like writing a book is necessary to put my kids through college, I'm just really not motivated to finish. I'm still working on this thing every day, but I think that's part of why it's going so slow, is that the two paths in the woods at the end of this, failure or success, are both bad. You know, they're both things I don't necessarily want. Kind of the optimal thing would be if I could just have a book come out after I'm dead. Because like, what is even, I don't even know what the benefit would be to having a successful book. Besides, maybe I could convince somebody to let me direct a movie. But even that is fraught with peril because I'm an extremely poor sleeper and I have a very short fuse. And whenever I hear stories about directors who lose their shit on set, I feel that same way again. I'm like, there's me. I would be that person. I can easily imagine doing that. I just don't have a lot of motivation to finish. But thinking about that made me realize how important, this is why I still really think this podcast has been an interesting thing, and I'm glad I made it. I think the information in this podcast is valuable because this is where the value of the daily habit comes in once again, is that I'm feeling all these ways, but I haven't stopped writing. It may be going slow, but I haven't stopped. I'm still just going. And I think back to all the other times, like that's kind of how this podcast started, was describing that for whatever, my whole adult life, for 20 years or whatever, I'd just been writing and not finishing anything and moving on to something else and not finishing it. And I'm starting to see more why that happened. Because this is already unusual that I'm this far, that I'm on the final chapter of a book. I certainly never got this far before. But I have to presume I felt similarly all those other times. I felt similar pressures. I had similar thoughts about where the future might go. But in those days, I did not have a process. I did not have a daily writing habit. I just wrote whenever, willy-nilly. So it seems pretty evident why, if I'm not feeling motivated to finish, and in fact I'm actually apprehensive about finishing, no wonder I stopped. What would keep me going in those circumstances? Why would I keep writing if I feel dread and anxiety at the prospect of finishing? If I'm just writing willy-nilly, if I don't have to write, if I just write whenever I feel like it, well, whoops, I don't feel like it anymore. And then I don't feel like it for 2 weeks, and then I don't feel like it for 2 months. I've already moved on to work on something else, and that first project is fucking dead in the water. And that is not happening this time. So I think ultimately, everything is fine, you know? The sort of mission statement way back when I started this podcast is still holding true. That idea of just developing a daily writing habit and making sure you get something done each day, even if it's a little, I'm still doing that, and it's carrying me through this mental storm, you know, of uncertainty and existential uncertainty again. I can't think of a synonym for uncertainty. Unassuredness. Do you ever do that, by the way? Look up synonyms and antonyms of words? I don't do it a ton, but every once in a while I do. And then it's weird because I'm looking at these words and I gotta make sure I don't pick one that I wouldn't have thought of. You know? I still want to keep my vocabulary in the basic range of what I commonly have access to in my brain. I don't want to pick some obscure, even if it's the perfect word, if it's not a word that I've ever used before, or it's not a word that I previously knew the full definition to, I don't use it. It's like, no, no. So, I mean, it's helpful to look up synonyms sometimes, but I still, it's got to be an obvious word that I just hadn't thought of. Like, oh yeah, okay, that'll do. Because it sure is easy to fill your writing with flowery shit. So yeah, you know, apologies to those who are still listening regularly that my book's not done. But hey, let's just assume at this point, let's just assume the book will never be done. Let's just assume that somehow I'll just go slower and slower and slower to the point that I'm writing one letter of a word each day and I'll just never get there. Let's just forget about it. Let's just take that off the table. Who cares? Who cares about getting to the end? It's that catch-22 of it's important not to stop. It's not important to get to the end. All that's important is to keep going, and you will get to the end. Eventually, I'll get to the end. We'll all get to the end of our stories if we just write every day. My expectation about how long it would take was not only wrong, it was infinitely wrong, wildly wrong. If it takes 10 years, who cares? If it somehow takes 20 years, seems unlikely since I'm on the last chapter. But who knows, you know, whatever. As long as the process is still processing, the speed of that process does not matter. Sure, someday we'll all die, but hey, at that point, the problems are over. So, you know, I don't think racing the clock of mortality is probably not really the kind of motivation that's going to keep you going. And yeah, despite the fact that listening to this in real time has just been longer and longer breaks between episodes, less and less updates to report, I still think this will be, it'll actually be more useful later. Someday, in the beautiful future, when I do finish this novel, that's when this podcast will really be handy. It's like, oh, okay, neat, here's the process, here's what happened. And in fact, it'll be potentially more valuable, more true to present, here's the process that took X number of years, this, here's the decade-long process or whatever. Rather than, if I had somehow finished this book in 2 years, I don't know how that would have happened. But now that I'm seeing more and more that that is not common, and that's not necessarily how it goes for most people, maybe that chronicle would have been less valuable. Like, I just got lucky? Instead, this is warts and all. This is how slow it really is. This is how the grind really goes. So that's the big conceptual overview of about my worries and uncertainties. Now I want to talk about the actual tech side. You know, I have noticed as I go through this podcast, there's always a reason why things are going slower. Like when I traveled overseas, I was like, yeah, that's probably why my writing's going so slow. Because I mean, I'm traveling. I got a lot on my mind. I'm in Amsterdam, I'm in Russia, I'm in Japan. Oh, there's a big fallen tree across this path. Glad it didn't fall on me. But yeah, I'd make up these potential reasons why things are going so slow. Now it feels like the opposite. Now I feel like once I get traveling again, it's gonna pick up my writing. We'll see if it actually does. But being trapped here in my hometown for these last few years with COVID certainly didn't help. And it really didn't. Because of just the tech, the pure tech I was writing with. So let me yammer about that a bit. So when I started this podcast, I had these very old Motorola droids from like 2010. These little droids with slide-out keyboards that were really neat and at the time really cheap. But at this point, they're just hard to find and they're a nightmare even to just install basic stuff on. Kind of all I even needed to put on it was just a text editing APK program, and it was not easy to do because they're just so old. They're fully incompatible with any modern day infrastructure for phones. But I had to give those up because writing my whole Last of Us book and writing 3/4 of this novel with my thumbs, with mechanical buttons pushing down on the little buttons, I just had this pain that developed in my thumbs, because obviously you're supposed to just use it for texting. That was insane. That Last of Us book is not short. It's real big. That is so much stuff that I wrote on these phones. I wore the phones into the ground. They looked like they'd been through Mad Max world by the time I was done with them. But it hit this point where no matter what stretching and rehab I tried to do, my thumbs just hurt every day. It was just like carpal tunnel for just my thumbs. And, you know, those phones would periodically break. Once the last one broke, you know, I chronicled this on the podcast, but once that one broke, I didn't order a new one. And lo and behold, my thumbs were repaired. But then what I got as a replacement was a Chromebook. And the Chromebook recently died because I spilled coffee on it and it fucked up the keyboard. And as I was trying to fix it, it fucked up the whole thing. It's gone. But, you know, it was cheap. It was like $200. But I can't say I really recommend it because it was basically just awkward the whole time. I think it would have been better. I'll get into this too, but I started using Google Docs a bit. And I know that's what Brianna Mariah did with her Chromebook. She just used Google Docs to do online writing stuff with a Chromebook. And I bet that would be okay, but I don't have a consistent internet connection. In fact, when I go out in the world, I deliberately don't have one. Right now, I am disconnected. So I just had to use my Chromebook to write with a writing program, with some kind of little writing app. And I just never found one that really worked well on the Chromebook. It was always awkward. I was always worried about deleting stuff. And just the form factor was so different from just having a phone in your pocket. The phone is just always with you. It's the most convenient thing ever. Whereas with the Chromebook, you know, I couldn't just go for a walk and at some point do some writing. Writing had to be the whole purpose. I had to leave the house with that express idea because I needed to put my Chromebook in a book bag. And then I had to go walk somewhere where I could set up a Chromebook. And if anybody has been following my Instagram, which I haven't been posting on much lately, but it's going to fire back to life when I get to Japan. I'm going to post every day. It's NovelPod on Instagram. But if you scroll back through it, you can see the history of this Chromebook because I mean, this was combined with the COVID thing. The Chromebook wouldn't have been as bad if the coffee shops were open. Still would have been a pain, but without the coffee shops being open, it was ridiculous. You'll find quite a number of pictures of my Chromebook just set up in random spots in the woods. In the summer, in the autumn, in the fall, snow everywhere. One time it was so cold out that my computer just turned off from the cold. I was really fighting to make sure I wrote every day. Come hell or high water, obviously rain, there's nothing I could do. Although I tried to go sit under a bridge. Somehow water was still dripping on me. I did what I could with that Chromebook, but the whole thing was just a pain in the ass the whole time. It just was too big of a form factor. It was nice to have a keyboard, but having to find somewhere to set it up and just even to have to be in the headspace to write as I left the house. You know, I had to make sure I got my Chromebook. My subconscious knows, oh, we have that because we're going to write later, where it was so much easier having the phone in my pocket and just going for a walk. And then as I went for a walk, it would let my, you know, just get some exercise, let my mind unwind, let my various anxieties dissolve a bit. And then just at whatever point in my day that I feel like it's time to do some writing, oh, there's my phone, let's do the writing. It was way better. So I do not recommend the full computer method myself. I guess it's fine if you know, you just have a nook in your house and that's where you go to write every day. But as I've said many times, I have a very hard time with that. I only stay home and write if I have no option. If I'm medically required to not go outside and walk around. For me, I gotta go outside, I gotta walk, I gotta let my mind unravel, then write. That's just the way the process works for me. So with the Chromebook breaking and with some new travel on my horizon, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get a new phone. Because I have kind of a mid-level Droid that I just listened to fucking podcasts and shit on, but it's still from like, I don't know, 2014 or so. It's still really old and just not at all good for writing. But I was dicking around on eBay and I got a Google Pixel 2 from I think 2019, you know, like in the modern era now of phones. And what's cool is I couldn't really find any other listings like this, so this isn't a consistently useful thing, but what I found handy is this phone was listed as having a shadow. which when I got it, turns out it's that this was a display model, had clearly never been used, was essentially brand new, but it was the display model that just sat in some showroom somewhere at some cell phone place, and it just had the G logo in the middle of the screen for years. So that logo had burned into the screen. It's always there, but you can hardly see it. I can only see it on like a fully white screen. I can see a sort of light G in the middle, like a watermark. And it's even not that bad. It sort of looks kind of cool. It really doesn't bother me. And if it's a darker setting, you know, set the phone to dark mode, you really can't see it. So because of that, I mean, this phone, when it came out, you know, I mean, phone prices are absurd. They obviously inflate them like crazy so you can get on these extremely expensive contracts and pay them off. But I mean, this thing was supposed to be like $800 or some shit. And I got it for, I think, $60. And then with shipping was like $80 Canadian, which is like 65 American, like so cheap. This phone was so cheap, and it's a brand new cell phone. And this is where I got ushered into the wonderful world of the modern cell phone. The only downside to it is it doesn't have a headphone jack. You gotta get a little dongle for headphones, so that sucks. But other than that, this thing is fucking amazing. Suddenly I can actually use all the new apps and all the new shit. I can do banking, I can do fucking flight stuff through the little apps on my phone. It's got the fingerprint scanner, which has been a godsend because all the banks want to, you know, if they want to confirm that it's me when I'm making a purchase, they want to text me. And I got a cell phone I borrowed from my mom while I'm at home, but I'm not bringing that with me. Soon I won't have a phone number, and it's like, ah, shit, what am I supposed to do? Luckily, now it's tied into my phone, my biometrics. If there's a weird login to my email or there's a bank charge that they're not sure about, it just sends it to my phone and I just scan my fucking fingerprint to prove that it's me. It's so cool. It's the fucking future. But the most important thing is, oh, I'm coming out of the woods. It's actually raining a little hard now. Hold on. I gotta make sure I don't get my recorder wet. I should really be wrapping this up soon. But the important thing is, I experimented with writing on it, and touchscreen technology has just come a long way. It's definitely better than my 2014 phone, and infinitely better than my 2010 phone. It's still, you know, not optimal. I do wish I had a keyboard, if I could somehow. I mean, I guess maybe I could look into that, getting some kind of fucking Bluetooth keyboard. But I don't know, again, that's just more shit to carry. The point is, this thing fits in my pocket. I've always got it with me. And writing has not been nearly as big of a problem. The touchscreen itself seems better. I've got the little virtual keyboard set as big as I can fucking make it. Predictive text has come a long way. And even one of my biggest problems from before was copying and pasting big blocks of text, which I like to do. I like to just break scenes down and build them back up, and it's just really fucking hard to do without a keyboard. But clearly other people have run into that problem now, because now the little keyboard, the Gboard on the phone, has a thing. You can just press a button and it switches it to cursor mode, where instead of a keyboard, now it's just arrows. You choose select, you use the arrows to move your little cursor around. You can select multiple screens of stuff, because before, you know, you'd be trying to select it with your finger and having the screen scroll, and it was just a nightmare. It was awful. It didn't work at all. Where now, I mean, it's a little awkward, but it works so much better than it used to. And on top of that, there's all this other extra stuff. Like, voice to text has come a long way. I haven't experimented with it much because I don't find I can really write properly or even semi-properly by speaking. So I can only really use it for notes at this point. But I can't believe how good it is. It's so accurate. It almost never gets a word wrong. And this one program I've got, like, it even identifies if it hears wind, or if it hears a car, or if it hears water, or laughter, or people chattering in the background. It, like, identifies all that stuff, and it's like, okay, I know that's not what I'm supposed to be recording. So I haven't done much with speech to text yet, but it's incredible how good it is. And then the other neat thing is, I finally have started experimenting with Google Docs, because it's all integrated to this phone. Like, I can just upload files straight to Google Docs because it's a little Google Pixel phone. It's all in the interface. And the reason I started, oh, there's another tree, fell across. How am I going to get around that? Fuck. But the reason I started experimenting with this is one of my friends from back in the day, he's a comic book artist, and he has a story he was working on that he wanted some help with the writing of it. He's got all of his summary, but he needs someone to write it out. And it's neat that now I'm just more, because of this process I've been under for all these years, I can be a lot more confident about pitching in on stuff like this. Because before, I could say, like, yeah, I guess I could probably write stuff, but deep down, I'd have these insecurities knowing that I'd never finish anything, where now I know about myself. I could tell him exactly how it's going to be. I said, like, hey, yeah, I can help you for sure, but here's how slow it's going to go. Like, this is what you can expect out of me. And he said, yeah, that's fine, let's do it. So I'm just slowly adding that to my daily docket, working on this other story. That's a whole different story, but that's an interesting thing to work through notes that someone else wrote. It's an interesting process. But yeah, it's going real slow, but it's going. And he was in a similar boat, kind of. He got derailed, just went other places in life. Basically, this story's been on the back burner for him for like 6 or 7 years. So, hey, it doesn't matter that I'm going slow. It's going, is the point. It wasn't going at all before. Now it's going. That's good enough. And I told him, you know, hey, I'm not at all married to this. Don't be beholden to what I write. I'll just get something down, and then you can do what you want with it, or give it to someone else to do something else with, or use it as it is, whatever you want to do. Just to take the pressure off, it's just a thing that we'll just work on and see what happens. So I made it a Google Doc so that he could check in if he wants. And that it does make it so I can't work on it like I do my other writing. I have to be at a coffee shop to work on that particular story. But that's fine, you know, that's just what I do once I get to the coffee shop. And if I miss that one, I mean, that one's not my, that's not my story. It's not as important if I don't get to Wi-Fi and I miss a day on that one. But yeah, experimenting with that, and it's like, oh shit, Google Docs is kind of handy, it's kind of neat. So I just got backups of stuff on Google Docs. You know, I can just upload it from my phone, put all my writing in a little zip file, toss the backup on there, and I still email them to myself once in a while as well. But basically, I'm back to writing on a phone in my pocket. It's just, it is a touchscreen this time, and it's just not that bad. And that's fine if I'm just like, that's the other great thing, is like, I've already gotten back in the habit of like, oh yeah, if I'm stuck in a lineup, if I'm just waiting somewhere, even if I'm just standing on a street corner, I can just pull this thing out and do some writing. So I mean, that's where I think when I travel, hopefully my writing should get back to a bit of a faster pace, because as I'm walking around Japan, I don't need to pull out the computer. I don't need to set myself up. I can just literally stand on a street corner and write. Although I guess there's also that swipe technology, you know, where you swipe the letters and it predicts the word. Also, shockingly good. Surprisingly good. So that's my spiritual update and tech update. Everything's going slow, but it's still going, so that's fine. I'm all right with that. And tech-wise, I'm back to having the nice little phone in my pocket. And even though, I mean, way back when I started this podcast, I greatly recommended against that. I thought touch typing was the devil. But that's how long this podcast has been going. Touch typing was the devil. It's just not anymore. It's not that bad. It's more than doable. And the convenience and portability and just always having the phone with you, all these aspects of the modern cell phone are fucking great. And again, you don't need to necessarily get on a big plan where you gotta spend $80 a month for your stupid fucking phone. Instead, you can get the whole phone for $80 if you just look for weird shit. You know, back in the day it was bad ESN, now I guess it's Shadow. See if you can get yourself a nice display model phone. There's a surprising number of benefits to the fingerprint thing. I mean, that's definitely not necessary, but I've been surprised how useful that's been. The little fingerprint lock. Oh man, I'm coming out of the trees now. This wind, this is going to be bad. This is where I got to walk across no more trees and just across a bridge over a river. That part's going to suck balls. So yeah, definitely wrap this up before then. But there's my updates. Go check out Roaming Holiday, my travel podcast. Just go to keithcourage.com, scroll down to Roaming Holiday. All right, song of the day, let's play Winter Hill by Doves. Just a real fucking good song. I've been listening to this one a lot lately. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Possibly on a travel podcast from Montreal and Tokyo. I'm sure I'll do some writing podcasts from those places too. So that'll be neat too, because I mean, those episodes were just cool, right? No matter what writing shit I was rambling about, it's like, hey, by the way, I'm on a mountain. You know, I'm next to the canals. That shit ruled. All right, talk to you later.